Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us again. My name's Mike Gibb. I run AccountsRecovery.net, and I'm excited to bring you today's webinar on skip tracing and social media. Social media offers a number of opportunities for companies in the credit collection industry to try and find individuals with unpaid debt, but social media can be a minefield of compliance concerns and legal headaches. In this webinar, sponsored by Microbuilt, noted skip tracing expert Ron Brown is here to walk through the do's and don'ts of how to use social media when skip tracing. This is the third in a three-day, three-part webinar series featuring presentations from Ron that are being sponsored by Microbuilt. On Tuesday, Ron spoke about how neuro-linguistic programming can help you get desired results in every type of conversation. And yesterday, he provided insights and resources into how to use online resources to find individuals and assets who do not want to be found. A recording of those webinars is available on AccountsRecovery.net's webinar recordings page, and I want to stress how grateful I am once again to Microbuilt and Ron for doing so much to educate and inform the industry. They are both incredibly dedicated to helping, and I, for one, am so grateful that they've participated and partnered this week on this series. Let me tell you a little bit about Ron Brown. Ron has spent more than 45 years in the field of locating and recovering lost and missing people and assets. He's internationally recognized as one of the leaders in the tracing and recovery industry and spends much of his time acting as an instructor for various credit collection entities. Having received AC International's Fred Kirshner Instructor Achievement Award for instructing 250 seminars, he's been selected by the association three times as its Certified Instructor of the Year. Nationally recognized as one of the key instructors on the FDCPA, FCRA, Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act, and HIPAA, Ron's written many published articles on these ever-changing federal laws and continues to conduct seminars related to these statutes. Before I hand the presentation over to him, I want to take a quick minute and also say a few words about our sponsor. For almost 40 years, Microbuilt has been helping businesses assess and manage risk. They were a pioneer in the alternative credit data space and today serve as a credit reporting agency in addition to their portfolio of risk management applications. Over the years, Microbuilt has invested heavily in acquiring best-in-class data with a reputation for being accurate and continually refreshed. They've also built powerful predictive models for making decisions around lending, leasing, collections, and risk management. All of these tools can be customized to a specific industry and company needs, including flexible pricing tiers. Every Microbuilt product is accessible through a convenient web portal, and many are also available as APIs for application development. Whether you're working in originations or collection, screening a potential hire or tenant, planning for growth, or keeping up with regulatory requirements, Microbuilt can be your partner. They can provide insight and information you can count on to protect your business, grow your bottom line, and keep your company running smoothly. For more information, please contact Microbuilt at 1-800-884-4747 or visit www.microbuilt.com. As with our previous two webinars in this series, the format for today's webinar will be a presentation from Ron. We encourage everybody to submit questions, and we'll get to them when his presentation has concluded. To submit a question, please enter it into the question tab on your Zoom webinar control panel. This event is being recorded, and a recording will be made available in the coming days on AccountsRecovery.net. With that, I can get on to the most important part of today's webinar, and that's bringing Ron in to begin his presentation. Ron, are you ready?
I was born ready, Mike. Let's get started, okay?
Absolutely.
Let me start, first of all, by thanking you, Mike Gibb, with Accounts Recovery Net and Microbuilt for sponsoring this. You know, I hope that the people have gotten what I refer to as my three E's. I like for the presentations, number one, to be educational. That's what it's all about. That's why we develop these. Number two, I like for them to be enlightening. I want them to learn something that they didn't know so they can walk away not saying, oh, well, I already knew that. But, you know, they can say, I knew a lot of that, but I did learn something. And last, entertaining. I hope they were entertained. And last but not least, I want to thank the members of Eagle Group 20 for allowing me to use their material to present this program. All three modules were developed in collaboration with them, and a great group of people, great skip tracers. So, getting started, we talked about social media. One of the great advantages of social media is that it's free. Doesn't cost you anything. But there are some rules, and they're very strict rules. Before we start, I want to go over the rules with everybody. You'll see them on the next slide. This is very, very important, understanding in social media. I have a lot of people, I'll be doing a conference or a presentation, that'll say, well, I did this and I did that and I friended those people. Let me tell you, you are asking for a major lawsuit if you violate any one of these rules. Number one, the strict rules of social media tracing. The first rule is it is read only. Never communicate with anyone when tracing with social media. You don't communicate with anybody. You never ask to be a friend, not of the person you're searching for or their friends. Now, you utilize their friends, and we'll talk about that, how you do that, but never ask to be a friend. Be very cautious also, because I've been skip tracing people, and when I bring them up, it shows that I'm already a friend of theirs. They're already, for some reason or another, on my friend list. So you got to be very, very careful there. Never create a false identification. And I have so many people tell me they've done this. You got to be very careful of what you post on your own social media site. Always tell the truth. As I mentioned yesterday, I have a Facebook, Ron Brown. It shows exactly what I do. It shows my employment as a professional hunter. That's what I do. I hunt people for a living. The most dangerous prey on the face of the earth, remember? Look at the timeline. That's where you find these people. A lot of them will post pictures of themselves. Look at the background. We found many people by looking at objects that appear in the background. A while back, it was the name of a motel. You could see the motel sign in the background. We knew what city they were in, pretty easy to find them, and they were actually living at that motel. The consumer you're looking for, they're going to be running and hiding, and their data may be private, but go to their timeline, which isn't private, and look at who their friends are. Pull up their friends. Go through every single friend. Look for people with the same name. Look for people that live in the same area. Look for people who worked at the same places. That's how you find the people, through their friends many times. So with the rules, and I want to, Mike, kind of open it up right here. If anyone has a question about the rules, right now would be the time to ask it. If you're doing something, you want to know, hey, do you think it's okay if I do this? Ask the question right now. There's no dumb question. The only dumb question is one that you don't ask. Do we see any questions, Mike?
We had one already submitted that had a few different questions in it. And one of the questions was, do you have to be friends to access all of their info? Looking at specifically mentioning Facebook, but also looking at some of the other platforms like Instagram and Twitter, or are these platforms the same as Facebook as to where it depends on the account holder's settings?
You have to be a member. You do not have to be a friend. We'll talk about Twitter and some of these. Never ask to be a friend of anybody. Just, you know, your personal friends, that's okay. But keep in mind, when you ask to your personal friends, the things they post on your timeline, other people can look at also. So, you know, I'm not friends with a lot of people. Anything else you see?
Not yet. We're good to go.
Okay. If you have any questions as we go along, please put them in there. You know, there's basic sites out there, and I want to talk to you about these sites. I want to take the first three. MySpace has 360 million people. It was the largest one out there from 2003 to 2008. Facebook is currently the largest, 2,230,000,000 people. And then Twitter, 330 million with 500 million tweets per day. I want to zero in on these a little bit and these top three and just talk to you about them. First of all, these are referred to as SNWs. SNW, that is Sierra November Whiskey, SNW, social networking websites. So if you see that abbreviation, that acronym somewhere, you'll know what it means. This all started with MySpace. MySpace was the first one to really come up and start doing things. people started posting their personal profiles, their blogs. They formed groups. They put photographs on MySpace. They could put music. They could put videos. And from 2005 to 2008, they were the largest group on the internet. Now, in 2009, they were passed by Facebook. They started declining since then. In 2018, January of 2018, they were ranked 1,657th in web traffic in the United States. Currently active, they're currently owned by the Meredith Corporation, who bought them from Time. May of 2016 data showed them with this 360 million MySpace accounts. They offered every bit of that in May of 2016 for sale. All the data that people had provided them were offered on a website. It's on the dark, it's a dark market website called Real Deal. In other words, all the information that you gave to MySpace, they were offering to sell it. Including your passwords. Now, the passwords were encrypted, but I'm on a warning site, and that warning site shows me every month where my password, somebody who might have my passwords. That is a website I have, which I changed the password, but they actually sold my password to somebody, and it came out. They're still out there. We talked yesterday about the different groups. You will find pre-boomers and boomers, usually a few X-Gen on MySpace. They're still out there. Don't discount them. There's good information there. If you're not a member of MySpace and you want to be a professional cyber tracker, I would tell you go set up a profile and become a member of MySpace. Costs you absolutely nothing, and it's a good place to look, especially for the boomers and pre-boomers. They still keep them up. I've still got mine. The next one that came along, we see there, was Facebook. Originally, that was called FaceMash, M-A-S-H. It was started by a young man who was a student at Harvard, Mark Zuckerberg, and it was actually a listing of Harvard students who could communicate back and forth with each other. It started spreading. It expanded to other colleges in the Boston area, and then finally was almost all the colleges in the United States. In September of 2006, they opened it up to everyone. Two requirements. You had to have a valid email address, and you had to be 13 years of age or older. That was the requirements there. They are very interested in what they call active users, and we should be also, because it's where a lot of the information is. An active user is someone who has visited the website, their site, within the last 30 days. I pull up a lot of sites where people are there, and I look at the date, and it may be, 2015, and they haven't been to the site since 2015. Well, why? What I find out usually is they have another site. They have opened up another site under another name, and that gives you a clue of what to start looking for. Also, go back and look at their relatives, and if people ask me, well, how do we find this other site? How do we find what other name? Go back and look at the friends that they had at that time. Go to each one of those friends' websites. Go through each of their friends, and lo and behold, you will probably find the person you're looking for under their new name. That's how we find that. In December of 2019, I got some real current figures on this because Facebook is one of the prime sites that we use, and I think it's very important that you know what's there. December of 2019, Facebook actually had 44,942 employees. That is a big company, 44,942. That's almost 45,000 people employed by Facebook. They had 2.5 billion active users. Now, remember what I told you an active user was? Someone who had visited their site within the last 30 days. They have 1.66 billion logins a day. 1.66 billion. Think about that. People logging in to Facebook. 1.74 billion mobile users a day that actually log in from a mobile. They are in 307, they have 307 members in Europe, outside the United States. The largest group that uses that are between the ages of 25 and 34. So once again, go back to what we talked about yesterday, those generations. The largest, your highest probability of finding someone between the age of 25 and 34 is going to be on Facebook. They have 5 new profiles entered per second. Every second, there's 5 new people getting a profile. 76% out of 100% of the people are females, 66% are males. Their highest traffic pattern when most things are posted are between 1 and 3 p.m. on Thursdays and Fridays. So if you're going to be looking for someone and you're looking for new posts from them, you know, smart thing to do, be check on Monday or check late Friday afternoon or check 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Keep in mind, that's the highest traffic pattern. They post 300 million photographs per day. Think about that. 300 million photographs people are putting on there. Every 60 seconds, every minute on Facebook, there's 510,000 comments, 293,000 status updates showing where they are. I mean, it's amazing what you can find on Facebook if you know how to find it. Every minute, they post 136,000 photographs. Also, and something a lot of people don't realize, there are 16 million business pages on Facebook. 16 million. You know, I told you yesterday, Eagle Group, we have a Facebook. I have a personal Facebook. We have an Eagle Group Facebook, Eagle Group USA. Some of you asked to join it yesterday. I accepted you. You're members now. That's number one and number two that I use when I'm hunting people. Number three is Twitter. You know, Twitter is really odd. These people that are on Twitter, they will tell you when they go to the bathroom. Some of them tell you every move you make, and if you can find the person you're looking for on Twitter, you know, you're going to find stuff from them. Twitter, as of December of last year, they had 336 million users. 152 million people per day tweet. 152 million per day. They have 31 million in the USA and 121 million international. I mean, Twitter is a big thing, and it would really surprise you. You know, these people have followers that follow their tweets. The number one person that has the most followers is Katy Perry. She has 215 million followers. Number two is Barack Obama with 107 million. Now, they say Trump, the Democrats say Trump only has 55 million. But in actuality, if you look at the different ways that he can be followed, you'll find on Twitter, Real Donald Trump, 32.4 million. POTUS, 18.8 million. White House, 14.6 million. On Facebook, he has Donald J. Trump, 22.4 million. President Donald J. Trump, 1.7 million. The White House, 8.3 million. And he also has Instagram accounts. Real Donald Trump, 7 million. And at White House, 3.6 million. So if you actually look at the total number of people following him and his comments, he has 108.8 million. That's a lot of people. You find a lot of these people on Twitter. We find them on Twitter all the time. You know, it's really amazing what they will put on there, where they're at, where they're going to be, what they're going to be doing. We were tracking a fellow a while back who had taken a Porsche for a test drive, $86,000 Porsche in California. He was a salesman, so he constantly was on the move in this Porsche that he took out just for a test run. They were unable to file criminal charges against him because they handed him the keys. The most they could file was embezzlement or unauthorized use by a trustee. He kept posting, and we looked at his friends, and we found that his friends were tweeting about a meeting in Chicago on St. Patrick's Day. We had people there. They found him. They spotted him from pictures he had posted on the internet. They actually followed him to a hotel, and that's where he had left the Porsche and recovered it. Once again, a lot of stuff. But it's just really amazing what's out there. I'm going to give you three sites that you probably have never heard of. They're not listed here. You'll see these: Twitter, Instagram, Weibo, Reddit, AskFM, Flickr, Google Plus, and LinkedIn. But I want to give you, actually, I'm going to go ahead and give you four. You'll have to write these down because these are sites that a lot of law enforcement and really people who do deep searches use. The first one is Baidu. It is www.b as in Bravo, A as in Alpha, D as in Delta, U as in uniform, B-A-I-D-U. And when you Google that, you'll have to go to the one that says in English, because it's actually a Chinese company who follows people in the United States, but there is a translation in English. Each one of these sites I'm giving you, I tested this morning. Worst thing in the world I can do is give you a site that doesn't work. So I went to each one of these. I Googled my own name to see what it would bring up and make sure the site was working. The second one is Yandex. Y as in Yankee, A as in Alpha, N as in November, D as in Delta, E as in Echo, X as in X-ray.com. www.yandex.com. The next one is Bing. B as in Bravo, I as in India, N as in November, G as in golf. And that would be www.bing.com. The last one, not hardly known to people, is DuckDuckGo. D-U-C-K, D-U-C-K, G-O. Just like a quack, quack duck. DuckDuckGo.com. Like I say, I checked out every one of these today. They all work. They're all there. You can put the person's name in and all kind of information will come up on the people you're looking for. Google. Let me talk to you a little bit about Google, because we're going to start with a Google search here in a minute. Google was released. It's one of the oldest ones. Google was released in 1998. And if you research them, you would be surprised at all the different companies that Google actually owns. Google is out there in 150 languages. Google searches in 2019, there were 3 trillion searches run on Google. 3 trillion. 200 billion searches are run per month. 3.2 million searches are run every minute on Google. They have 217 billion users. 86.6% of those users use desktops. 73.3% of those users also use a telephone, a mobile device to search it. So, any questions so far? Mike, you see any questions up?
Yeah, we've got some questions here. Okay. I think going back, there's a couple of questions going back to your rules. So we'll start with those. Question, can I have a false identity that has absolutely no information in it? Or is it illegal to have a false ID with no information, friends, etc.?
You know, it's not illegal, but if you're using it to collect debt, which we do, if you're using it to collect debt, then it's a violation of Section 807, misrepresentation. It's the same as calling someone on the phone and telling them you're John Doe with the IRS and you've got a check that you need to get to them. It's misrepresentation. So if you would ever get caught, and when we talk about Google, I'm going to give you a cautionary there, okay? If you would ever get caught using it for that purpose, it could be a problem. If you're a private investigator and it has nothing to do with money, it's not illegal. If you're law enforcement, it's not illegal. But if it has to do with the collection of debt, directly or indirectly. Excuse me. When the FDCPA first came out with these different rules and regulations, a lot of people thought, well, we're going to close down our skip tracing department. We're going to form a private investigation agency, and rather than have our collector skip trace, we'll turn these accounts over to this private investigation agency. They don't even know we're collecting debt. They'll never contact anybody about the debt, so therefore they won't have to follow the FDCPA. That didn't work. The courts came in and ruled directly or indirectly. If the end result is the collection of debt, you fall under the FDCPA. So again, I would caution people, depending on what you're going to do, there's no law against forming a false identity. There is a laws that would prevent you from using it if it is in the connection with the collection of a debt. Next question.
Next question. Yes. So how do companies get away with using desk names, such as using false last names? Is that illegal?
Fair Debt Collection Practices Act allows the use of alias, understanding that, and I was there when that law was written, so I was like, hell, I was there. They realized that, you know, that you don't want to use your real name a lot of times, especially if you're a woman, a single woman living alone because of retaliation, etc. So it is illegal. It is legal to use a desk name as long as you don't do it with the intent to defraud. If I'm using the desk name Joe Pascala, and someone walks in the office and says, you know, I want to see Joe Pascala, we can't say we don't have a Joe Pascala working here. In Arkansas, we have to register our desk names with the Attorney General's office in Arkansas to collect over there. We have to take our real name and then show what collection name we're using. So under the FDCPA, it's not illegal to use a desk name, but you can't use it with the intent to mislead or misinform the consumer.
Okay. Another question. One of the up-and-coming social networking sites that you didn't have on your list is Snapchat. So a question wondering if you've used it and had any luck with the younger generations using that tool instead of Facebook.
That is another tool that we use. I've used Snapchat. There's a lot of stuff on there. There is a list that I'll give you at the end of this that has it on it. I haven't had a whole lot of luck using it because what we're looking for is location information, and I don't see a lot of the location information there. Facebook, Twitter, even Instagram, be a lot of location information, but Snapchat is just almost, it's just chats back and forth and many times about absolutely nothing that would lead us to where the consumer might be.
Okay. One other question, sort of clearing up something from yesterday before we move forward. You mentioned UDS, not quite sure what that was referring to. When we reached out to them, they said we needed the account number to look up the information. Is there a way to access the information they have without it?
Utility Data Services was
There you go.
Developed by a group here in Oklahoma City. They are in, I think, located out of Edmond, Oklahoma. It's actually Utility Data Services. You can pay per hit with them, or you used to could. We pay quite a large sum per month to be able to access them directly by computer, but we have a direct relationship with them in as much as we beta tested their product, and I own the Credit Bureau building in Oklahoma City when they used to be in our building here. So I don't know exactly what their current rates are, but it would be Utility Data Services out of Edmond, Oklahoma, if someone wants to contact them.
Got it. That's all the questions we've got for right now.
All right, then. Let's start talking about, you know, how we actually do this. What do we actually do? You'll see there, like I say, those sites. Let's go to the next slide before we move into actual process. These are some of the things that I have got for you, and I try to give you the steps to do it here. Google Alerts, they're emailed out. You can subscribe to this feed and you type in the search term. You pick the type of search you want, news, blogs, web, video groups, comprehensive groups, how often you want the updates. Pick the email length, pick whether to deliver it to your email box or as a feed, and hit subscribe. Technorati, that's the largest blog monitoring service. Once you register your blog on Technorati, it tracks any blogs that reference your posts. To sign up for alerts, just search for your blog, subscribe to the RSS feed. Addictomatic, and I'm not going to go through each one of these, but just kind of hitting on it, allows you to create a personalized tracking page that pulls content from all over the internet, includes Google, Yahoo, YouTube, Trivio, Flickr, Blinks, Ice Rocket, different ones there. And again, I try to tell you what to do. Step one, enter a keyword to track. Two, modify the boxes, bookmark it, and check it. Twice Up, that's a terrible name, Twice Up, but it's a very useful too. Enter the keyword, creates a dashboard tracking that keyword on Twitter, breaks down categorizes by link popularity, contributors, news tags, etc. Social Mention allows you to choose a platform you want to search a keyword across. You can search blogs, microblogs, images, events, news, videos, a lot of information there. On the next slide, we'll see some more of those. And again, what I'm trying to do is give you the steps to take to monitor these. You've got WorkStreamer, fairly new service, tracks specific companies. Hootsuite, social media monitoring app that works on Twitter, Facebook. And these actually, so you don't have to go to these every day, you can track certain keywords, company names, a person's name, whatever, and if that comes up, it'll let you know. KeyOut measures influence on topics across social media platforms. Web2 Express Monitoring, Board Tracker, Monitor, real-time live Twitter monitor allows you to enter up to three keywords and monitor what's being said. Those are some sites that we use. I'm going to take you back now to the beginning, and I want to give you the exact process that I try to use. Keep in mind, and Mike, you'll see on the next slide there, you've got to use your mind. If you're using these things, think what you have, the ability to reason, you got to understand why, you got to counter move and use the abilities. I'm going to give you the exact process, and when this is over, I'm going to send this to Mike, and if you want a copy of it, you can request it from him. I actually have it in writing. It's a continuing education program that Eagle Group 20 developed. Understand, social media is a gateway. It's a connection gateway to Facebook, to Twitter, to Instagram, PI interest. It makes the cyber tracker's work very interesting, and it promotes success if you use it properly. As professional tracers, you know, we should give thanks every day to social media. Number one, it's free. Number two, it allows us to access billions, trillions of users in the jungle of posts, tweets, and pins. How do I find people? This is what people ask me all the time. Well, what do you do to find people, Ron? How do you find people when we can't? I always start with what I call a simple Google search. If you know very little about the person you're looking for, a lot of people think, well, that's the end of it. And I can't tell you how many times I have people come to me and they have done the comment, I've done everything I can do and I can't find these people. Well, first thing I do is Google them. Google is a very powerful tool, can make your task much easier. Type in the details, the name, their username, along with some keywords related to their location, maybe their marital status, their wife's name, or their occupation. And you do that to refine your results. The more you know about them, the more you can type in there. You know, you can type in Ron Brown and all kind of stuff comes up. You can type in Ron Brown, Oklahoma City. Type in Ron Brown, Oklahoma. You get an attorney, you get a doctor, and you'll find me in there, but you'll find a whole lot of Ron Browns, very common name. the more keywords you can put in, the better off you're going to be. Ron Brown private investigator, Ron Brown Eagle Group 20, and all this stuff will come up with information. So learn to do that. Did the name and keyword result in an enormous amount of information, or did it come back with nothing? You can. There's another way to Google that a lot of people don't know about. You can Google at images.google.com. images.google.com. Enter the person's name. And like your original Google search, what it does, you can narrow down the results. You can do Ron Brown, Oklahoma City, Ron Brown PI, Ron Brown Eagle Group 20. What it does, it brings up pictures. And I tested this morning, and two pictures on me came up. You can then key on those pictures, those photographs, and it will take you to my profiles on these different spots. So it works. Scroll through the images. Once you find a picture of the person that you're looking for, and hopefully you'll know kind of what they look like, just another tool. After that, whether I find stuff, don't find stuff, whatever, I will go to Facebook. Now, a Facebook search is one of the best places, I think, to look for somebody online, but you have to understand what you're doing. You have got to be able to reason and understand why to be able to counter move to get ahead of these people and find them. I follow the Google search with the Facebook search. It's the world's largest social networking site, and it really improves your odds of finding the people. Learn to use filters. Not the person's name, but you can filter it out using different things that you know about the person. It can be the state they live in. It can be the last known address you had for them, anything at all. But type person's name in the search bar and click on the people tab. And once you click on the people tab, then click on see all. You're going to be at a big list there. And from that list, you're able to filter the results by city, education, work, wife's name. Refine your search. You can pick a combination of filters to narrow it down. Another search technique is just use the person's name at the end of the social media sites. In other words, type in www.facebook.com/, and then the name of the person, Ron Brown. That's all that's a very good way to search using Facebook. People also, they'll use their same username across social media, which is a case for Ron Brown. Add Ron Brown to other social media addresses, and you'll see Ron has an account on each platform with the same username. In other words, you'll find twitter.com/Ron Brown. You'll find the Twitter account. Snapchat.com/Ron Brown. You'll find the Snapchat account. You can find all of those accounts they have just by putting that in. Hopefully your name won't be as common as Ron Brown, the person you're looking for. But again, if you use filters, Ron Brown, Oklahoma City, Ron Brown, different things. Type in Ron Brown, CIATFA, and you get some real strange stuff that comes up. One final option for Facebook is to do a reverse phone search. A lot of people don't realize you can do that by simply typing in the last phone number that you had for the consumer into the search bar. A lot of times, it's not common for people to share the phone number within a Facebook post, but a lot of times they do, and you connect that phone number, use it for verification purposes, and there you've got your person that way. I will give you a cautionary here on Facebook. One of the security features that Facebook provides, and this is for you people who want to create a false identification, is they send a text message to users when their account is accessed from unfamiliar locations or devices. That is something they have come up with just a while back after they interviewed Mr. Zuckerberg and they got onto him for giving out information. They developed some protocols, and one of those is a security feature where they will provide in a text message to users if an account's accessed from some odd location, or an odd device. So kind of be careful what you use there and how you do it. If you can't have, if you happen to have a person's phone number, you can't find them on social media, that telephone number search is sometimes a good thing to do. And, you know, if you've done all this and you still can't find them and you still got to, you know, get more searches, then it's time to go to what I refer to as a dedicated people search. We're still looking for free stuff here. We haven't gone to the pay brokers yet. We're still in that very first mode of the waterfall technique where we don't want to spend any money. These dedicated people search engine sites are very helpful. If you don't know the person's online name, you know, I told you a lot of times you'll see their Facebook canceled out, nothing done since 2016. And you know they're still on Facebook, but they're using a different name or a different combination of their name. These search engines are real helpful in cases like that. Or even if the person doesn't use social media, these are helpful. One of them that a lot of people don't know about is called PQ.com. That is P as in Papa, E as in Echo, E as in Echo, K as in Kilo, Y as in Wanky, Yankee, O as in Oscar, U as in Uniform.com. www.peakyou.com. This is a free people search. It's got a lot of detailed information. They collect and combine publicly available content from social media sites, homepages, blogs, different news sources. And with this information, a lot of times you can determine a person's online identity. These techniques help locate a person online. There's no guarantees. There's no golden bullet. Like I told you yesterday, you just keep refining that search. Keep using your ability to reason and understand why. And you'll find the person you're looking for. There is a new site out there that I have been using lately. It is called, I refer to it as social white pages, but the tool is www.snitch.name.com. Snitch name. It searches for a name that you specify, and it goes across popular social media sites. It's kind of a gathering thing. Facebook, Vimeo, Flickr, Wajah, Twitter, MySpace, FriendFeed, Netlog, LinkedIn. As a result, you'll see snapshots of profile pages in an iframe, and then you can key on each one of those. There's also yoname.com, and it's got kind of a different thing. It's www.y as in Yankee, O as in Oscar, N as in November, A as in Alpha, M as in Mike, E as in Echo.com. It's got a different selection of social networks. It runs through Bebo, Blogger, BuzzNet, DeviantArt, IRC, Galleria, WebShot, Zanga. I haven't had a lot of luck with this. It returns fewer results than Snitch Name, but it's still worth checking out. And, you know, the more places you have to go to search, the higher your chances are of finding these people. There also is additional cyber tracking sites. And again, there's 30 of them that I will send out that you can use. And a lot of them are not stuff that people know about. Socialcatfish.com, Socialsuite.com, All American FM Blogspot. AdfinityNetwork.com, MaxSearch. Some of these may work for you, some of them may not. But like I say, the more tools you have in your toolbox to cyber track with, the better off you're going to be. Again, that program we just went through, this process, I'm going to send it to Mike, or you can email me. And, you know, Eagle Group has a motto: anything, anytime, any place, professionally. You see there my website address, rbrown@csi-arm.com. That 800 number comes direct to my cell phone, 24/7, 365. Anything, anytime, any place that I can help you in any way, I'm happy to do it. Mike, it's been a pleasure working with you and the group. I hope everyone benefited. I hope they got the three E's. With that, if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
All right, well, let's give people a minute to submit any final questions. While they do, let me ask you, do you have the same approach every time? It's the same process, the same steps, the same sites that you visit in the same order, or, you know, are there different situations that call for different processes?
That's one of the great things about tracing. Each hunt is different. That's where you use the ability to reason. You know, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. So no, I don't go the same way every time. I don't drive to work the same way every day. I don't always drink my coffee with my right hand, do things differently, and it makes life a lot more exciting. So no, there's no, like I say, there's no golden bullet. There's no pattern that I could give anyone that would say, hey, if you do it this way, it's always going to work. You have to figure out what's best for you and what you feel the most comfortable with. And it's really odd. A lot of these sites, like if you live in the eastern United States, certain sites give you more information than you know, if you live in the western part of the United States, and vice versa, if you live in the midwestern United States. And a lot of that has to do with the information that's obtained from the credit bureaus. Some of the credit bureaus are stronger in the east, and they have less information in the west, vice versa. Some are stronger. You know, we actually, when we pull credit header information, we look at where the people live. And like in the middle United States, we'll pull a TransUnion first. In the eastern United States, we'll pull Experian. And in the west, we'll pull Equifax. And that's not always true, but we go with what, you know, the probability is.
Okay. Excellent. Before we wrap up, you know, one of the great things about talking to you are the stories you have. And I wasn't sure if there was a story you wanted to end this series on, something memorable, something funny, something noteworthy, something, you know, just something to sort of wrap up everything that you've been talking about over the last few days. If there was a story you wanted to share.
I will tell the group one of the greatest tools is the ability to form networks. Open and closed sources of information. Closed sources. People who will give information only to you. Well, that's great. But if I'm in a group, I can share the people who will give just information to me. You could call a credit union or bank here in Oklahoma City and they'll tell you nothing. I can call that same credit union or bank and they'll tell me everything because of the networking. A while back, we were asked to recover $24 million worth of road building equipment. A group flew into Oklahoma City. They purchased the equipment. They gave them a cashier's check for $12 million drawn on Hibernia Bank, and they financed the other $12 million for them. Five pieces of road building equipment. You could have an open field, and when the equipment finished, you had a road. Well, the check returned. It was a cashier's check on Hibernia Bank. Cashier's checks don't return, so the company redeposited it. It returned a second time. This time, they called Hibernia Bank. And Hibernia said, yes, it's got this and that, but it's not one of our checks. The routing number actually takes it to a bank in Colorado. They then, in turn, when they see it's not their check, they send it to us. So this makes it take about 2 weeks to circulate before you get it back. It's not our check. It's a forgery. That's when they called us in. We looked at it. We looked at videos of the people who flew in, a woman, two men, and their chauffeur bodyguard came in. The men were wearing $1,000 suits. The woman was movie star quality. Beautiful. They showed them how to use the equipment. They loaded the equipment up on five drop bed trailers with tractors, and that's what they bought, the whole kit and caboodle. The first giveaway was, you know, looking at the name of the company, it was Thompson Paving Company. Thompson is the largest gypsy family in the United States, and they're out of Louisiana. Now, this is where the networking comes in. I contacted a friend of mine who was with EPIC, El Paso Intelligence Center. They track, that's part of the Border Patrol, they track everything going and coming into and out of the United States. These people were out of Louisiana. asked him to see if anything had left the port of New Orleans equipment under that Thompson Paving Company. 3 or 4 days went by. He got back to me. He said, no, nothing out of New Orleans, but out of San Diego, California, there was a large shipment for Thompson Paving Company that went to Lima, Peru. Networking. That's the first step. I contacted another person I know with the State Department in Washington, D.C., and asked him if he could get me a contact at the embassy in Lima, Peru. He did. Networking. I contacted that contact and used a tool that we teach. I just spoke to. He gave me your name and number and told me that you could help me. I'm using their relationship to build a relationship and using that power word, help. Everybody likes to help. That person put me in contact with a captain in La Policía de Federales de Peru, which was a captain in the police, federal police in Peru. I explained the situation to him. He told me he would see what he could find out and would get back to me. About 3 weeks, 4 weeks passed, about a month, and I got nothing. I figured that's, you know, I'm on a dead end here. I'm going to have to do something. And then I got a phone call. He had located the equipment. He could get me and the equipment out, and he asked me, yo comprendo mordida. Mordida is payoff money, bribe money. I told him I did understand mordida. Que mucho, how much? $25,000 in a brown paper bag. I called my client. I said, guys, I got a police officer says he can get me in and out of Peru. That's where your equipment is, but I need $25,000. They said, come on down. We'll write you a check. I said, no, no, no. I don't want a check. I want $25,000 in a brown paper bag. They said, no problem. We're talking $24 million worth of equipment. They were very quick to come up with the $25,000. I took six people with me. Each one of us carried less than $5,000. We didn't have to declare it that way. We flew to Dallas, Texas, and from Dallas we flew out of Mexico into Lima. We got into Lima. The police officer there, the federal police officer, took us right through customs, put us on an old C-47, gave each one of us a 45 automatic pistol, 50 rounds of ammunition, and two magazines. We all looked at each other, and these are all ex-law enforcement or ex-military people. As we were flying over the hump in this old tail dragger C-47, we told him, we're not going into a situation where we might need these weapons without firing them first. He said, it's no problem. We're not pressurized. They opened the side door, and we're shooting those guns at mountain goats. We didn't hit any of them, by the way, but on the mountainside, so we knew the guns all functioned properly. We landed in the Orinoco Valley. We were met by a squad of federal police, which are kind of like soldiers there. We went about 90 miles upriver. We came to the most beautiful resort you've ever seen with beautiful paved roads. There sat our five pieces of equipment sitting on the drop bed trailers with the keys in ignition. I asked the man running the resort how that occurred. He said, I just told them that the federal police were coming up here, and the last place they wanted to be was in a federal penitentiary in Lima, Peru. We paid them 25 cents on the dollar, and they left. That's when we found out what the weapons were for. We had to drive those back over the mountains, and there were bandits in the mountains. We got back to Lima, no problem. We sea freighted the stuff back to San Diego, and from there it was shipped on back into Oklahoma City. We got a hefty fee for that, but again, it could never have been done without networking. Consider me to be a member of your network at this point. Get on that Eagle Group USA side. Every member of Eagle Group USA, every member of Eagle Group 20, consider them to be a member of your network. And we'll consider you to be a member of our network. So when I need something and I know where you're at, hey, does anybody have a contact with, then you can answer, you can help me, I can help you. We help each other. We find people when no one else can find them. That's what it's all about. There's the story, awesome. Mike. Hope you enjoyed it.
Awesome. A great story. One thing we forgot to mention is your continuing education code for your Eagle Group, for your Eagle Group members.
It is MICROBILT One, two, three. Microbuilt. One, two, three.
And just like that, one, two, three, we're going to wrap up. Ron, this was amazing. There have been a number of questions, you know, people that have submitted questions in chat through the forum talk saying what a great job you've done and how informative it's been. And I just want to echo their statements. Thank you so much for taking these 3 days and walking us through these important topics and sharing your huge, you know, amount of resources with everybody. This was awesome. Excellent job.
Thank you. I have a short closing statement.
Of course. Go ahead.
Quotation from the final chapter of Julius Caesar, written by the immortal Shakespeare. Would that we could know the end of this day's business ere it comes, but it must suffice to say that the day will end and the end will be known. And if we meet again, we'll smile. But if not, let this parting be well made. Thank you all very much. It's been my pleasure to present for you.
I know better than to try and top Shakespeare in wrapping this up. So I'm just going to say, well said, Ron. Thank you, everybody. Have a great weekend. And we hope to see you back, see everybody back for another webinar soon. Take care.